Welcome to Casting Hope, a sermon podcast of Hope Presbyterian Church in Columbus, Ohio. My name is Joe Hack, pastor at Hope, and we are so glad that you are listening in. We would love to connect with you in person at our Sunday gathering. In the meantime, we hope this message points you to Jesus, the reason we gather.
So in our passage this morning, there are two parallel stories back to back. And these two parallel stories have a conflict. And it's a conflict between Jesus and his disciples on one side and the scribes and the Pharisees on the other. And they are conflicts particularly about observing the Sabbath. And before we can really dive into the nature of this conflict that we see, I think it'd be helpful to talk for a moment about the background of Sabbath. Get my clicker. It helps when you turn it on. Hey-o! Yeah. It's possible that if you did not grow up in a religious home, or even if you did grow up in a religious home, it's possible you grew up in a home that did not really talk much about Sabbath or have a lot of emphasis on practicing Sabbath. So it's possible that some of us in the room may not have a good grasp on what we're even talking about when we talk about the Sabbath. In very simple terms, the Sabbath is one day of rest in our seven-day week. Sabbath involves intentionally refraining from work in order to rest and to honor and worship God. And of course, in the New Covenant, we recognize that a very good day for keeping the Sabbath is Sunday, the Lord's Day, as we remember that Sunday is the day that Jesus rose from the dead. So Christians all around the world and all across the centuries have practiced Sabbath, even particularly on the Lord's Day, on Sunday. It's important to recognize that Sabbath keeping is not some obscure practice in the Bible. It is actually a part of the Ten Commandments. And the Ten Commandments we recognize as being a central teaching from the Old Testament and carried on into the New about how God's people are to live. And what is fascinating about the about Sabbath keeping in the Ten Commandments is that many of the other commands in the Ten Commandments are just simply stated, but Sabbath is given extra explanation as to what it entails and why God's people are to practice the Sabbath. And so we see this in Exodus chapter 20. It says, 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, you or your son or your daughter, your male servant or your female servant or your livestock or the sojourner who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. See, the people of God had been slaves in Egypt. They had been forced to work against their will. Their whole lives, they had been experiencing forced work. And in the process of this, they were dehumanized as mere tools of the Egyptian pharaohs. So this command to keep the Sabbath from God, it was not given to God's people in order to make their lives more difficult. The Sabbath was not given to God's people because God is a killjoy and wants them to rest instead of work. No. The Sabbath was given to God's people as a gift of mercy. You see, this law, this commandment to practice rest is a gift. It's a gift of mercy to people who have been told their whole lives that they are merely a tool for work. It's a mercy. And notice in this passage that this is not just a mercy for the leaders of Israel. That this gift of Sabbath rest is a gift for everyone. It's a gift to the least of these, to the servants, to refugees in their midst. It's a gift even to the animals. One Bible scholar put it this way. He said, Israel had been a slave in Egypt and had been delivered. So Israel must show the mercy of the Sabbath towards those in her midst who were slaves. So this day of rest is a commandment because God's people need to know that they are not merely tools of Pharaoh. Even the least of these in Israel were given the gift of rest as a gift of mercy. And even notice in our passage that God's people are to rest because God himself in the creation story rested at the creation of the cosmos. So before there was even a fall, before there was even thorns and thistles that came from work, God himself rested. And this was not because God was tired in human terms, but there was something about the created order of the universe that involves both rest and work. We might wonder if in the new heavens and in the new earth, if this same pattern of work and rest might exist. That is how integral to life and following the way of God is in the world. Is experiencing the gift of Sabbath. So that's some of the background that leads us to our passage in the Gospel of Luke today. But what is the nature of the Sabbath conflict? Considering that there is this conflict between Jesus and the Pharisees about Sabbath keeping, it's important to recognize that the Pharisees, the Jewish leaders who are very careful about observing the law, in so many ways they have good reasons to care that the Sabbath is kept. It's often easy for us as Christians 2,000 years after the time of Christ to read passages like this in the Gospel of Luke and to too quickly categorize the Pharisees as merely being hard-hearted legalists. But we have to understand it is right and good for them to care about God's people observing the Sabbath. It's not a bad thing that they want God's people to experience this gift of rest. One New Testament scholar put it this way. He says, the Sabbath was the outward symbol of the covenant with Israel from Exodus 31, 12 to 17. In the diaspora, the Sabbath was the primary bulwark against the assimilation of the Jews into the culture and religion of pagan society. And any threat to the Sabbath was a threat to the very existence of Israel. The Pharisees, therefore, had a legitimate cause for which they were fighting. You see, Sabbath keeping was important for God's people in the first century. Why? Because this is what helped to distinguish God's people from the nations around them. This is one of the central practices of the people of Israel that helped to remind them who they were in a world in which people did not worship the one true God. So Sabbath keeping was, in a sense, important for God's people to remind them of their own identity. In so many ways, the Pharisees were advocating for a good thing. And if that's the case, then what was the message of Jesus in the midst of the conflict? Well, in the first of these two parallel stories, the Pharisees are accusing Jesus' disciples of working on the Sabbath as they're picking the grain and they're eating them while walking through the field. See, the Pharisees' interpretation of how to observe the Sabbath conflicted with what Jesus' disciples were doing that day. But Jesus, being a master of the Hebrew Scriptures, used those very same Scriptures to talk with the Pharisees about what his disciples were doing. He said, "Have you never read what David did when he and his companions were hungry? He entered the house of God, and taking the consecrated bread, he ate what is lawful only for priests to eat. And he also gave some to his companions." If we were to go back and to look more closely at this story in the Old Testament of David and his companions, they were more than hungry. They were desperate. They were fleeing for their very lives. And so David and his companions, they took bread that normally should only have been reserved for priests. Jesus' point in bringing up this passage is to say that there are times when there are exceptions where we ought not let religious observance get in the way of extending mercy to those who are in need. And in the midst of this passage, we would be remiss if we didn't point out that Jesus says some interesting things about who the Son of Man is. You see, in the Exodus passage that we read a moment ago, Sabbath keeping was to be done unto the Lord, unto Yahweh, unto the one true covenant God of Israel. And yet, in this passage that Luke shares with us this morning, Jesus says, "The Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath." So this is quite a bold claim of Jesus, that somehow he is equal with the one true God, that Sabbath is something that he himself has authority over, that he is the one who can rightly interpret what Sabbath keeping ought to look like in the kingdom of God. And in our second parallel story this morning, the scribes and the Pharisees, what are they doing? Well, they're watching Jesus. For what? To see if he will perform the work of healing on the Sabbath day. So instead of appreciating Jesus' ability to heal people who desperately need healing, their concern is, will he do a work of healing on the Sabbath? Why? Because they want to trap him. But as happens time and time again in the Gospels, Jesus sees the trap coming. He knows their intent and he knows exactly how to handle it. He's not there merely to win an argument, but to demonstrate the message of the good news of the kingdom. Luke tells it this way. "But Jesus knew what they were thinking and said to the man with the shriveled hand, 'Get up and stand in front of everyone.' So he got up and stood there. Then Jesus said to them, 'I ask you, which is lawful on the Sabbath, to do good or to do evil, to save life or to destroy it?' He looked around at them all and then said to the man, 'Stretch out your hand.' He did so, and his hand was completely restored." So the question at the heart of the matter for Jesus in the midst of this conflict is this question. Is it lawful to do good or evil on the Sabbath? Is it lawful to save life or to destroy it on the Sabbath? But what I think is fascinating in this passage is that Luke includes an interesting detail, which I think not only tells us that this is somehow an eyewitness account of what happened, but I think it gives us a little glimpse of the heart of Jesus. Luke says that after Jesus asked them this question about whether it's lawful to do good or evil on the Sabbath, he says, he looked around at them all. Eugene Peterson in the Message translation puts it this way. He looked around, looked each one in the eye. Can you imagine yourself in this gathering? What would it feel like to hear Jesus ask this question? Is it good or evil that we should practice on the Sabbath? And to notice that no one has an answer, the Pharisees included. There's just silence. What would it have felt like to watch Jesus looking around the room? What would it feel like for him to make eye contact with you? What kind of expression do you imagine on Jesus' face as he looks at you in this moment? A.J. Swoboda says this, "The incarnation, in part, is God's heart put on a face." From Luke, we get the picture of a Jesus that is not merely there to perform a miracle, to display his deity. He's not merely there to teach a lesson. But we get a picture of Jesus that is making personal, relational connection with every person in the room. What would it feel like when your eyes leave Jesus to look at the hand of the man whose hand has been restored as good as new? You see, that moment, that's what the kingdom of God is all about. Sabbath is about experiencing the mercy of God and the power of God for the renewal of God. Refraining from work on the Sabbath is good, but it does not encapsulate what it could mean to be faithful to loving God and neighbor. See, the whole point of the Sabbath is that it is a gift of mercy. But even consider this for a moment. Does Jesus actually break the Sabbath commandment? Does Jesus do any work? Is it work for Jesus to tell the man to stand up? Is it work for the man to stand up and stretch out his hand? You see, if anyone does any work this story, it's God. Does God break his own commandments? Heaven forbid. No. A foundational reason for the Sabbath in the first place is that God's people would experience his mercy. But notice that it is not accidental that the ones who are advocating for proper Sabbath observance are the same ones who are enraged at Jesus' healing and teaching in this passage. And they are the ones who ironically work together to destroy God in the flesh. Jesus is King, and in His kingdom, Sabbath is a gift of love and mercy. But what are the implications of this for you and me today? Well, on the one hand, as one preacher put it, every day is a good day to show mercy. Every day is a good day to show the compassion of God to others. And if our practice of religion keeps us from extending mercy and compassion, then we might be missing the point. Every day is a good day to show mercy. But at the same time, we must be careful to avoid the pendulum swinging too far in the other direction. Because I am concerned that far too many Christians read a passage like this, and they see Jesus correcting the Pharisees about their too rigid of Sabbath keeping, or too legalistic of Sabbath keeping, but then conclude that keeping the Sabbath is something that is pretty much irrelevant, or obsolete, or impractical, maybe. Is the world chaotic for us today? Do you believe that in this chaotic world, that God wants you too to experience the gift of rest as a mercy? Consider the words of Rich Velodas this morning. We're so often so used to producing that we forget to be present. The Sabbath, then, is a day of presence, a day of being present to God, present to others, present to creation, and present to ourselves. It is certainly true that keeping Sabbath might make us more productive. But we keep Sabbath not because it makes us more productive at work, but to resist the idol of productivity. We are more than we produce. See, we're tempted with the very same temptations that ancient Israel had as they left Egypt. I think we are still tempted today to believe that we are what we do, that we are what we produce, that we have to earn our worthiness and respect and dignity in God's world. But friends, the gift of Sabbath is a gift of mercy because it reminds us that we have a God who will take care of us even when there's work left to do, but we're leaving it undone. The gift of Sabbath is a reminder that there is a God who wants us to experience the mercy of rest. And this same Jesus that provided food for His disciples, who healed the man with the shriveled hand, is the same Jesus who promises to you and to me, you are not what you produce. You are already loved. Experience the gift of rest. It may feel like a death. It may mean losing the grip of control of your own life. But through that death is an opportunity to experience resurrection life in Jesus. Let's pray. God, we thank You for Your word this morning. We thank You that You promise that You will take care of us. You see the burdens of the thorns and thistles of work in this fallen world. And still to this day, You promise us rest. Lord, would You help us by Your Spirit to be faithful in receiving this gift, not as a burden, not as something we must do legalistically, but rather as an opportunity to be present with ourselves, with others, with creation, and most importantly, with you who love us more than we can imagine. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thanks for listening in. For more resources like this and to learn more about Hope, please visit our website at hopechurchcolumbus.org.